Please open in your Bibles with me to Psalm 29. Psalm 29 can be found on page 566 of your pew Bibles. Psalm 29. This is God's word. He's speaking here. When he speaks, it's powerful. His voice goes out. It's going out to you now. So hear him. Psalm 29. A psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. The voice of the Lord is upon the water. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Siren like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to clave. And strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everything says, glory! The Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Let's pray. Oh God, you are great and mighty, glorious and awesome. Lord, and we do ascribe to you, we give you praise and thanks, and we cry out to you, glory. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would impress on us the powerful voice that you have spoken out. Lord, wake us up from our dullness, and let us love you, and indeed live as servants in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. In Colorado, a few years ago, there was a news article came out about a recruiter who was hired by a photography studio to go and to call applicants, to try to set up interviews and find qualified applicants. And the story was of this one applicant's response to the phone call was so ridiculous that it made news articles. And I'm just going to read you this conversation that happened. The person calls and the applicant sleepily answers the phone. This is about 10 a.m. Sleepily answers the phone and says, "Hello? Me, hello? This is Jane from Great Shot Studio. I'm looking for John to inquire about a position." "Yeah, that'd be me." She says, "I'm slightly put off by the tone, but since it's about 10 in the morning, I figure maybe they're still getting ready for the day and are just not themselves yet. So I launch into a spiel about the job requirements, positions, and what we're looking for in the terms of hours of the work." And it goes on, she says, and the guy goes, "Yeah, I can't work earlier than noon because I need my sleep. And I need to get done by 4. I also don't really like to deal with people. So I want to be the photographer." That's funny. Not the seller people. The lady says, "Well, being the photographer, you would have to engage with the clients, telling them where to stand or to sit and how to pose. And our photographers are also sales studio associates. So you're often going to have to sell your photographs to the clients. Is that something you're willing to do?" "Yeah, whatever. When do I start?" "Well, I'd like to set up an interview with you first. Will today at 1 o'clock work for you? Are you serious? I have to come in order to see if I even got the job? That's how we do things. And she starts to get a little bit frustrated with this applicant, but still wanting to give them a shot. Well, that's how we do things. The applicant calls back, "Well, I have plans today. So I'll call you back at a better time." Click. Something's wrong with that person. The way they're thinking is wrong. They need a reality check. That person needs to recognize that they are not the center of the world. They're being a lazy bum. They don't understand authority. They don't understand the way the world works. They don't understand anything. The church today needs a reality check. The broad church today needs a reality check. Something is wrong with many people who call themselves Christians today. They treat God as if he's something cute to believe in. Treat his word as if it's something that is optional that they read. It's especially optional whether they'll actually obey what he says. But even more than that, many people in the church today forget that their God is a holy God. Their God is a heavy God. Their God is a glorious God. How have you been treating the God of the universe? Do you need a reality check? Have you been treating God like he's a cute thing you add on to your life? Not the God whose voice thunders and shakes the mountains. Your call tonight is to worship Yahweh, your King. Worship Yahweh, your King. First, look with me at verses 3 through 9. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of Yahweh is majestic. The voice of Yahweh breaks the cedars. Yes, Yahweh breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of Jehovah hews out flames of fire. The voice of Jehovah shakes the wilderness. Jehovah shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of Jehovah shakes or makes the deer to cleave and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everything says, glory. First point is reverence. That means fear. Reverence Jehovah, whose voice is powerful. We're going to start with a technical thing. If I want you to look at your Bible and see that in verses 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, and verse 11, what is Lord spelt like? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord. This is the covenant name of God. The name which Jews today are so worried about taking in vain that they won't even say this name. The theologians have a technical word for it, the tetragrammaton, the four-letter name. Tetra, four, grammaton, word. Four-letter word. Yod, He, Vav, He, YHVH. Yahweh or Jehovah. This is his name. This is his name. And from here on out, when we're reading Psalm 29, this is how God speaks to us, his name. And we'll be reading it as it's actually in the Hebrew, because we are not to be taking his name flippantly, no, but it is the name he has given us. And when Yahweh speaks, when Jehovah speaks, there's thunder and lightning, and tree splintering, and wilderness is shaking. It makes a deer give birth, and it makes a cattle skip. So the gloriousness of Jehovah makes the skies clash with thunder. So you guys are, most of you guys are from around here. So you're used to thunderstorms. When I grew up in Southern California, we didn't have very many thunderstorms. And I remember one of the first nights when I moved from Southern California here to Beaver Falls, I remember being asleep in my nice warm bed downtown, and all of a sudden the house shook, and I woke up in fear because I had never heard thunder so loud that literally the floor underneath my bed would shake the entire house. When God speaks, it is as if thunder is shaking the ground beneath your feet. When Yahweh speaks, there are peals of lightning, or literally it's blades of fire flash forth. See, again, we don't think of God. We think of God as beyond us. But Romans 1 is real when it says that all men know of God's power. Luther found out God's power well. Martin Luther, that great reformer in the 1500s, how did he become a monk in the first place? He was walking along the roads from one town to another and got caught in a lightning storm and thought that he was going to die, and he got down on his knees and vowed that he would become a monk because God had scared him to death. We need to start being more scared of our surroundings around us. And if you say, well, I'm not scared of the lightning, I would tell you an hour ago, go stand out with your umbrella and tell me the truth. When God speaks, there are blades of fire, the lightning flashes forth. Jehovah's voice is shattering the cedars of Lebanon. Again, Pastor Micah last week spoke to us of the olive trees. The cedar trees of the forests up north in Lebanon get up to 120 feet tall. 8-foot-around trunks. None of us, well, maybe a few of you might have arms that are wide enough to wrap around the tree, but very few of you. And the voice of the Lord splinters them in two. Have you thought of God's word that way? Jehovah speaks, and the cedars splinter. God sits above the massive waves, the white-capped waves that toss about ships. God sits over them as king. From the north, from the forests of Lebanon and Syrian, to the deserts in the south and Kadesh, God is king. Jehovah reigns everywhere, and there is nowhere south, north, west, or east, where his voice is not heard. When Jehovah speaks, the nations have trembling legs, like an animal in childbirth. Church needs to wake up. When God speaks, it's powerful. Did you catch it in Psalm 19 when we sung it this morning? That God's word is powerful and his law has the power to convert souls. God's voice, Yahweh's voice, is powerful and majestic. Think about throughout Scripture when God speaks. At creation, God speaks and things from nothing become things. God speaks at Mount Sinai and the people plead with Moses and with God, don't speak with us anymore or we're going to die. Job 40, verse 9. Do you have an arm like God, and can you thunder with a voice like his? Or at Jesus' baptism in Matthew 3, behold, a voice out of the heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And at the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17, 5, while he was speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And then in the passage we read earlier, John chapter 12, 28 through 30, when Jesus is praying, Father, glorify your name, what happens after that? Then a voice came out of heaven, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. How does the crowd respond? So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. When the Father testifies of the Son, he comes from a cloud with a thundering voice. But when God sends the great storm upon the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples are shaking in fear, and they wake up Jesus and tell him, save us, for we're about to die. It is Jesus, the second person, who says to the storm, be quiet. And there's a great calm. It is Jesus who speaks, and people are healed. And in Hebrews 1, 1 through 3, we learn that it is Jesus, who by whom God has finally finished speaking. He is the last prophet. He has thundered through the life and words of Jesus Christ. And in Revelation 19, 12 through 16, Jesus is described as a great warrior. And just listen here to how Revelation chapter 19 speaks of Jesus. Speaks of his titles and his speaking. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will tread the winepress of the fury of his wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name, two names here, of Jesus, the Word of God, and King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. That is the God who speaks to you from the Scriptures. That is why he has been given a name above every name, to which every knee will bow. Are you reverencing him? Are you fearing him? Do you come before Jesus Christ and bow to him as your king? Or have you treated him as something less than that? Have you taken his words of the Scriptures and not treated them as the thundering voice of the Almighty God? So our next step, bow before Yahweh, who is greater than you. Bow before Yahweh, who is greater than you. Look with me at verses 1 and 2, and then 9 through 11. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. In verse 9, the voice of Jehovah makes the deer to clave and strips the forest bare, and in his temple everything says glory. Yahweh sat as king at the flood. Yes, Yahweh sits as king forever. Yahweh will give birth to his people, or strength to his people. Yahweh will bless his people with peace. Who is this being written by? Of David, of David. And what does verse 2 say? Verse 1. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty of David. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. We know who the mighty men are. We know who David was. We know those men who could slay thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. And yet here, those great warriors are told to ascribe to God what they might want to take for themselves. Right? Think about the parades that go on after wartime. What happens when the soldiers march through the streets? People are giving them glory. People are saying they're their strong army. But here God tells, O sons of the mighty, ascribe to Yahweh glory and strength. It's not you who won the battle. It's not you who's strong. It's not you who deserve the glory. It's God. Ascribe to the Lord glory, strength. Ascribe to Yahweh glory, do his name. Worship the Lord in a holy array. If this was speaking of a man, this man would be an imposing figure. This would be the idea of righteousness and of power. This is someone who towers head and shoulders over everyone else. This is someone who commands attention. This is someone who is big and majestic. This is someone to whom you would write home about. If you came face to face with the God that is being spoken of here, what would you say? Glory. Weightiness. I've never met anyone else like this person. Is that how you're thinking of God? Or have you lowered him? Yes, he's near to you, but he's greater than you. Worship Yahweh in holy attire, verse 2b. The word for worship here. Again, we often throw around words that we lose in translation. The word here is really simple. It's a physical action. Bow down. Lower yourself. Get on your knees. The king who sits over the waters, the king who sits as king forever. What should be your response to Yahweh, the God of the covenant? Bow down. Get on your knees. That is the posture you're to take before him. See, he's the king. And we're his subjects. He is greater and we are lesser. He is grand and we are small. And in his palace, when his people are weighted down by the heaviness of his voice, the grandeur of who he is, what is the only thing everyone in his temple cries out? Look at verse 9. What does it say? Glory. Think about the angels in heaven who are in God's palace in front of his throne room in Isaiah. What do the angels cry out to each other? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and the whole earth is filled with his glory. His palace. If a king sits in his house, it's called his palace. When the king of the universe, his home, it's his temple. And we come into his palace. And we cry out, glory, weighty, heavy, burdensome, overpowering is God. Over everything in my life, over everything in your life, he must be glorious. You are to bow before him because he is the one who sits as king forever. But he doesn't treat his people as a tyrant. Look at verses 10 and 11. Yahweh sat as king at the flood. Yes, Yahweh sits as king forever. Yahweh will give strength to his people. Yahweh will bless his people with peace. If you have strength, it's because he gives it to you. If you have peace, it's because Yahweh has spoken to you peace. If you have safety, it's because his son has saved you. That is what Jesus' name means. Yah saves. So what do? We glorify Yahweh, whose name is glorious. That's our third point. Glorify Yahweh, whose name is glorious. Look with me at verse 2. Ascribe to Yahweh the glory due his name. Yahweh's name carries weight. The Jews understood this. That's why they would say, what I am doing is irreverent. But God's name carries weight. And if we can't say it from his word, then we can't say it at all, and we've lost the weightiness of his name. His word is heavy. His word is glorious. His word is how he has revealed himself. This is his covenant name that he made known to Moses. Pastor just finished preaching in Exodus where God made his name known to Moses at the burning bush. Who should I say sent me? I am who I am has sent you. Yahweh has sent you. He is the one who is everything. You can't describe him entirely by anything else. I am. Yahweh has sent you. And his name represents who he is in his whole person. But some of you, your eyes are glazing over. Just a name. What all this big deal about him speaking and just his name? I mean, your name's Brian, my name's Joe, whatever. Just your name. Well, you're not a king. And kings and queens take their name seriously because it represents who they are and who their state is and what their reputation is. And kings and queens today still know that. In 2007 and again in 2012... the Queen of the Netherlands had people thrown into prison because they wrote name, or they defamed her name. They spoke badly of her name in the newspaper. They called her a prostitute, so she had them thrown in jail. In 2015, when there was revolt in the street against the government in Thailand, there is a man who made six different posts on social media against the king of Thailand. And so he was thrown in jail for 48 years. Still today, that man is in jail because he defamed the name of his king. Your king, his name is heavy and is glorious. And you are to sit underneath the weight of that name and recognize that he is glorious. But we sit in a wicked generation. Think about how often you turn on the TV and Jesus' name is nothing but a curse word. Think about how often people just use God's name as flippant, just part of their conversation. How seriously do you take God's name? How seriously do you take God's name? How seriously Do you ascribe weight and honor to God's name in the way you live? Christian, you bear His name. Your name, Christian, means Christ follower. So when the people around you see your life and they see and have heard you say Christian, they look at you and say, it's nothing. Christ's name must obviously not mean much. Or do they see you and they go, that's someone who is under the weight of someone else. That's someone who follows someone else's commands. That's someone who has a king not of this world. And they don't care about what others might think of them because they consider God someone higher than they are. Is that your testimony? Is that how people look at your life? Or they see flippant? Just a name. We must not just live our lives somehow that His name is glorious and weighty to us, but that weightiness, so it draws you here in worship. You are His temple. You are the living stones of His temple. And then when the weight of His glory, the weight of Yahweh's name falls upon His people, right? We speak of it that way, right? The Holy Spirit falling upon a people, and there being revival, when the weightiness of God falls upon people, what is their response? Worship. That's your last point. Worship Yahweh, your good King. Look with me at verses 10 and 11. Yahweh sat as King at the flood. Yes, Yahweh sits as King forever. Yahweh will give strength to His people. Yahweh will bless His people with peace. Do you come to a God who offers you peace? Do you come to a God who gives you strength? You come to a slave master? Or do you come to a God who has no rule over you? There's three options. The first is that of the Pharisees. He is a God who is nothing but strict, harsh commands, who never gives you strength and never gives you peace. There's the God who you might say you worship, but your heart is far from Him and you don't feel pressed down by His weightiness. Lukewarm Christianity. Or do you come to a God who you worship and you cry out, glory, because He's your King. He's your King that is thundered out with a strong voice. Peace and strength. See, He sat as King over the great flood. He sat over the flood of Genesis chapter 6. And I want you to think back for a second on Genesis chapter 6 with that flood. As the rain was coming down and the door was lifted up and people started to cry out because they realized that there was a king who was angry with them and was killing them, as there were scratches against the doors and people pleading for their lives, they understood God's glory. But yet there was a king in heaven who gave peace to Noah, who gave him the strength to show that his king was glorious, though the people mocked him for over 120 years. He was going to listen to his king, who said a storm was coming. And he trusted in the strength and rested in the peace of his king, who would reign forever, who would rule as the monarch, as the king for eternity. Are you taking safety in your king? Is Yahweh your hope for peace? Or are you resting in something else? Is Jesus Christ the one who you take refuge in? Is Jesus Christ your strength? Or have you thrown off the weightiness of Jesus Christ, who is your king? See, he's both weighty, but he's also your king who gives you strength and gives you peace. Not in this world, but forever. That is the covenant name, the glorious name of Yahweh, who speaks forth in the thunder and sits above the waters. And he has come to you with a word of peace, and has come to you offering strength. But he is weighty. This is the weight we must warn our family members of. This is a weight we must pray that God, by his Holy Spirit, would impress upon the people we live around. We will not see a revival in our land until the people realize that God is glorious. He is weighty and he is heavy, and the only way out from under his wrath is fleeing to Jesus Christ, the King whom they can find peace from. Give that peace to your neighbors. Flee to that peace yourself. Let's pray. God, we pray for your Holy Spirit, that you would apply these things to our hearts. Forgive us for how often we treat you lightly. Forgive us for our hypocrisy, Lord, and for living our lives in such a way that people don't see you as glorious. Grant us repentance. Give us strength, Lord. Let us live in your peace. Let us worship you, our true God, who has come into covenant with us. And Lord, we do pray that you indeed would send your Holy Spirit and impress your weightiness, your gloriousness upon the people we live around. We plead with you, Lord.